to shut up or get cut out. They don't wanna hear about it. Tony Inches on the reel to reel. And the radio is in the hands of such a lot of fools trying to anesthetize the way that you feel. Radio is a sound salvation.
Hi, this is Marion and Dewey the dog. We're in the Love Shack at the Greenville Drive-In. You're listening to WGXC ACRA, Hudson Catskill.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in ACRA, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show on the day after Election Day. We're going to provide you with as many results as we possibly can today, all sorts of news from voting locally last night. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all begins after the local news, which is next. Stay tuned to the WGXC Morning Show.
This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
Welcome to the video rental store in your mind.
Looking for something to watch, but feeling overwhelmed by all the options?
Feeling unsatisfied with all the boring, restrictive categories like romance and drama or horror?
Tune in to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda every second and fourth Tuesday at 7 p.m. and get turned on to movie genres like eco-horror,
unsettling kids' movies,
alien boyfriends,
creepy therapy.
Start listening so you can start watching today.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at WGXC.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ruby's Hotel and Restaurant in Freehold, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. U.S. Representative Christopher Jacobs is calling on the Federal Trade Commission to quickly approve a merger between Topps Friendly Markets and Price Chopper. Porcupine Soup reports. The merger was announced a year ago and requires approval from the FTC, but there has so far been, quote, radio silence, unquote, from the board, Jacob said this week. Quote, the financing for this project will expire on November 8th, unquote, he explained. Quote, if the FTC does not act before then, this deal is dead and there is a potential that many of our Topps markets will be forced to close, unquote. Jacobs represents a district in Western New York where there are almost 30 Topps markets, he said, adding that, quote, in many of the rural communities I represent, Topps is the only grocery option for more than an hour drive, unquote. In Greene County, Topps has stores in Greenville, Tannersville, and Coxsackie. Price Chopper has a store in Catskill. Jacobs sent a letter to the FTC highlighting his concerns and calling on the board to make a quick decision. The FTC did not respond to a request for comment. Price Chopper Market 32 and Topps Markets first announced the planned merger in February 2021. Price Chopper Market 32 is based in Schenectady and operates 130 Price Chopper and Market 32 grocery stores, employing 18,000 people. Based in Williamsville, Topps Markets operates 162 grocery stores. They are the largest private for-profit employer in Western New York with more than 14,000 associates. If the merger is approved, the new parent company will be headquartered in Schenectady. Read more about the story at porcupinesoup.com.
Ted Remsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that on September 7th, Catskill Town Justice Richard Paolino ruled that a storage container on Stanley Livingston's Liberty Street property was too large and in violation of Catskill Village law, and that two permanent tents there were in, and I quote, violation of zoning building laws that exist on listed property, end quote. A week later, Catskill Village officials withdrew its prosecution of Raven and let him keep the shipping container and tents on his property while the home repairs are ongoing. This upset Paolino. He said, and I quote, I am kind of like aggravated because the time wasted on this matter since June of this year, and then all of a sudden now, because somebody doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, they're going to change the law. But not really change the law, they're just going to cover up the violations, end quote. He added, and I quote, that doesn't work in my court. So figure it out and come back to this court when it's either figured out or for a bench trial or some kind of appeal notice to the county, end quote. The judge continued, and I quote, you wasted my time for the last 4 or 5 months, so don't come back to me with stuff like this ever again, end quote. Neighbor Paul Moyer said Livingston is getting special treatment. And I quote, seriously, it's totally wrong. And again, I feel the village is circumventing the actual law on the books. Our issue is not whether or not there's a roof on the shipping container. It's how the village board went out entering into this stipulation agreement. Any normal citizen would go to code enforcement and apply for a building permit. End quote. Catskill Village Board of Trustees President Peter Grass said the village made the agreement because the container came before the village's codes. He said, and I quote, I didn't want to believe that I would allow my code enforcement officer, Michael Raggiani, to be persuaded to interpret something to enforce new zoning on something that was there prior and doesn't seem to be very clear, end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Mid-Hudson News is reporting Governor Kathy Hochul has signed legislation that prohibits insurance companies from canceling a homeowner policy just because the property owner has a pit bull, Rottweiler, or other breeds of dog viewed as dangerous. Brian Shapiro of Woodstock, state director of the Humane Society of the United States, supports the measure. Quote, this legislation would ensure that there is no discrimination against people who have pit bulls or German shepherds or dogs that might look like that, and an insurance company saying you can't have a homeowner's policy, we're going to discriminate against you. It is totally not found in science, the basis for that. This is a good bill, and we are pleased that governor has signed that, unquote, he said. Owners of dogs that have been declared dangerous based on behavior are not covered by the bill, making it possible for insurance companies to base their decisions on actual risk rather than outdated stereotypes, Shapiro said. The next step, he said, will be to introduce legislation with the same protections for renters' policies. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that while world leaders are deciding not to take too many big steps to slow global warming at the Glasgow Climate Change Conference, New York is taking small steps. On November 2nd, Governor Kathy Hochul signed laws making it easier to recycle and compost waste. Hochul said, and I quote, "With the fate of the planet at stake, New York must continue to lead the way in the global fight against climate crisis. This package of legislation will make sure New Yorkers are recycling, composting, and phasing out wasteful plastic products, putting our state on the path to a cleaner, greener future," end quote. One bill ends single-use plastics on SUNY and CUNY campuses. The other is meant to increase recycling and composting. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
And the Ravenna News Herald is reporting the New York State Department of Health has announced Greene County Family Planning, a division of Greene County Health, has been awarded funding to provide reproductive and other health services to the county in the coming year. The county has been awarded just under $229,000, an increase of $65,000 over the amount awarded in 2021. So far this year, the clinic has seen 842 clients for 1,800 visits. The clinic offers low-cost access to same-day contraception, pregnancy testing, and preconception counseling, testing for sexually transmitted infections and HIV, hepatitis C, and screening for breast, cervical, and other cancers. Clinic also provides treatment for opioid use disorder and harm reduction services, including Narcan and fentanyl test strips, as well as counseling by a licensed medical social worker. The department's health educator provides health education to the local school districts and Columbia Greene Community College on healthy reproductive decisions and staying well. The department plans to increase the number of clients it serves in the coming year. It also intends to partner with Greener Pathways for mobile outreach services in local communities. Read more about this story in the Ravenna News Herald.
William J. Kimball reports in the Daily Freeman that the Republican election commissioner in Dutchess County, who has lost two court cases trying to block a polling site on the Bard College campus, says he will keep up the fight next year. Dutchess County Republican election commissioner Eric Haight said he will continue to fight the rulings next year. On October 29th, after a state Supreme Court ruling mandating the polling place on campus, Bard College Executive President Jonathan Becker said, and I quote, "It's unfortunate that the county leadership has condoned, actively or through their silence, Commissioner Haight's efforts to undermine democracy, even as he has now wasted well over $100,000 of taxpayer money over the past decade in failed attempts at voter suppression that have been repeatedly rejected by the courts," end quote. Haight called the decision, and I quote, "stupid," end quote. "Voters, for a very good reason, don't get to choose their own poll sites. It's up to the Board of Elections to choose, because the law assumes a certain level of impartiality. So when the court replaces its judgment for the Board of Elections judgment, then we end up with this stupid ruling for multiple poll sites in the same election district," end quote. But courts do get to overrule politicians when they make mistakes. Haight wants to move the polling spot from the center of the Bard College campus to the Richard B. Fisher Center for the Performing Arts at Bard. But alcohol is sold there, making it ineligible to be a polling place. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, sunny with a high near 49 degrees. It will be mostly clear on Wednesday night with a temperature low of around 29 degrees. And on Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 48 degrees. And Thursday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 29 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
You have tuned into all sorts of creative community voices on the radio at WGXC 90.7 today, Wednesday, November 3rd. And we will hear the Synth Eclectico show at 10 a.m. beaming in songs from Australia today. Then we head back to Accra at 11 a.m. for Your Voice Touches My String with Mayuko Fujino live in the WGXC Accra studio. At noon, we head to Main Street in Catskill where Spike Priggen produces the Bedazzled Radio Hour live from his Spike's Record Rack on Main Street in Catskill. And then we head back to Hudson at 4 p.m. for the WGXC afternoon show. And since the election is over, Kamal Johnson is back among the guest hosts today. Vern Cross, Kamal Johnson, Ed Mack, Jaden Cross, India Cross today on the WGXC afternoon show at 4 p.m. on the radio. At 8, we're live from Hudson again with Rock and Roll High School with Peter McPartland and Anya Kanevskaya. And then we head to Ulster County for Snack Point Charlie live with Jeff Economy at 10 p.m. And then Go Go Kitty, simulcast from Radio Kingston in Kingston with host Peter Aaron on the radio at WGXC until 2 a.m. with the Go Go Kitty show on 90.7 FM. WGXC.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
The Global Day of Action for Climate Justice in Albany on Saturday, November 6th is one of the many events you can find on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. The rally and march starts at 11 a.m. at the Radix Center, 153 Grand Street in Albany, and concludes with a rally at the Federal O'Brien Building at 12:30 p.m. at Clinton and Pearl Streets. With hundreds of similar events across the country, the Albany Global Day of Action for Climate Justice is again Saturday, November 6th, starting at 11:30 a.m. Find out all the information about this event in the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Five, four, three, two, one.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Cheryl Kay, host of Situation Fluxus on WGXC, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. The show is a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more that airs on Thursdays at 10 a.m. and Fridays at 4 a.m. To contact us about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance at gmail.com or info at wgxc.org. Keep tuned in to 90.7 FM, wavefarm.org/listen, tune in, and on the Wave Farm Radio app on your smartphone. Our website is wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, November 3rd. Going to see some frosty windows out there early this morning. We got 29 in Courtright Center and 34 in Kingston. Areas to the west of us will be seeing more lake effect snow. Over here, the day should be mostly sunny and dry with a high of 50 degrees, happening at 3 p.m. Overnight, it gets cold. A low of 31 happens just before dawn. Tomorrow will be mildly cloudy with a high of 47. A low of 29 Thursday night takes us into a cold and dry Friday with a high of 50 degrees. Looks like the weekend will also be dry and in the 50s. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 1:50 a.m., low tide at 8:37 a.m., high tide again at 2:24 p.m., and low tide again at 9:07 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 54 degrees. Sunset today will be at 5:35 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:27 a.m. Looking way up, we see cannibals. On approach to Earth is a coronal mass ejection that is moving faster than a couple slow ones already on the way. As the new CME gobbles up the older ones, things get freaky with good chances for geomagnetic unrest tonight and tomorrow. Solar wind speed is currently 520 kilometers per second at 6.8 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently poor for day and fair for overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 42. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Dr. Stephen D. Brown of Stuyvesant, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
All the curtain lights, this is it, the night of nights. No more rehearsing and nursing a part, we know every card by heart. All the curtain lights, this is it, we'll hit the heights, and oh what heights we'll hit. On with the show, this is it.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC election results so far. And this is as of midnight. Only 50% of Greene County precincts have been reported on the Greene County elections website. And only the City of Hudson results have been reported on the Columbia County election result website, the Board of Elections website. In Greene County, with 50% of precincts in, for Greene County Legislator in District 1 in Catskill, the top four win. Right now, the top four are Doreen Davis, Democrat, 143, Jeff Friedman, Democrat, 136, Neva Wartell, Democrat, Working Families, 131, Monique Chestnut, Democrat, Working Families, 130. Following them are incumbent Matt Lavera, Republican Conservative, 75, Michael Bullock, incumbent Republican Conservative, 68, Linda Overball, incumbent Republican Conservative, 66, Jack Keller, incumbent Republican Conservative, 63, and then finally last is Melanie Flannery, Working Families, 6. That would be four Republican incumbents replaced by four Democrats in Catskill on the Greene County Legislature if results hold, but 50% of precincts are only in. Same with Coxsackie. Charles Martinez, incumbent Republican Conservative, 20 votes, and Thomas Hobart, incumbent Republican Conservative, 20, are the only two contestants and the only two winners. Edward Bloomer, incumbent Republican Conservative, 40 votes in Athens, is the only one running and the only one winning. In Greenville, Greg Davis, incumbent Republican Conservative, 7. Randall Schoemelinger, Democrat Working Families, 6. Again, only half the votes are in. Greene County Legislator District 5, New Baltimore, Pat Linger, incumbent Republican Conservative, 5, is the only candidate. James Thorington, incumbent Republican Conservative, with 32 votes, is the only candidate. In Prattsville, Ashland, Wyndham Jewett. In Hawcott, Lexington, Hunter, right now, Democrat Daryl Legg is beating Republican conservative Charlotte Meigs 25-13. In Cairo, Michael Camadine, Republican conservative 82, Harry Lennon, incumbent Democrat conservative 66. They would be the two winners if results hold. Bill Sheriff, Democrat Working Families, is at 41, and Sherry True, Republican conservative, is at 30. Bill Lawrence, Republican incumbent, resigned and did not run for re-election this time. So Michael Camadine, another Republican, would be replacing him if results hold. And Harry Lennon, the incumbent Democrat, would stay in office if results hold. In Durham, Brenna Rustick, Democrat, 23. Patricia Handel, incumbent Republican conservative, 8. That would be a turnover seat if that holds. Then we have City of Hudson results. For treasurer, Heather Campbell, the incumbent Democrat, is at 935. Michael Hoffman, the Working Families Party, challengers at 241. First ward alderperson, top one wins. Claire Cousin, Democrat, Working Families, 251. She's the winner. First ward alderperson, write-in, 187. Art Frick, Democrat, 163. Gary Perhagen, Democrat, 137. So write-in will win if it's all the same person. But that will be decided in a few days. Second ward alderperson, top one wins. Abdus Mia, Democrat, conservative, 150. Tiffany Garriga, Working Families, 45. Second ward alderperson, top two win. Dewin Sauer, Democrat, conservative, 157. Mohammed Roney, Democrat, 133. Lee Bradshaw, Republican, 14. Third person alderperson, Michael Chimides, Democrat, Working Families, 208. Write-in, 7. Third ward alderperson, top two win. Ryan Wallace, Democrat, conservative, 170. Calvin Lewis, Democrat, 131. Write-in got 118. Don't know if that's all one person or many. Fourth ward alderperson, Linda Mussman, Democrat, 135. Write-in, 6. Fourth ward alderperson, top two win. Malachi Walker, Democrat, conservative, 129. Theodore Anthony, Democrat, 120. Write-in, 6. Fifth ward alderperson, top one wins. Richard Scalera, Democrat, 250, one write-in vote there. And finally, fifth ward alderperson, top two win, Vicky Descaludi, Democrat, 258, Dominic Moranti, Democrat, conservative, 230, and Rebecca Bohr, Working Families, 67. Then we have other races in Greene County, where, again, 50% of the votes are in so far. In the town of Ashland, Richard E. Tompkins for supervisor has 3 votes, write-in has 1. Town of Ashland Council, 2 winners, and they are going to be Jeffrey M. Gonzalez, Republican, with 5 votes. Scott O. Tuttle, Republican, has 4 votes. For town clerk in Ashland, Dawn J. Thorpe is the Republican. She has 6 votes. She has all 6 votes. Superintendent of Highways in Ashland, Larry R. Tompkins, Republican, has 4 votes, all 4 votes. For supervisor in the town of Athens, Michael N. Perrone, Democrat, 59. Michael J. Regini, Republican, 24. Again, that's with 50% of the votes in. Town Justice in Athens, Constance J. Pazin, the Republican, has 35. There were 2 write-in votes. For Town Council in Athens, right now, Phyllis Dinkelacher, the Democrat, has 54 votes. Democrat Kerry Gardner has 53 votes. Republican Mary H. Brandau finishes out of the running. The top two win if these results hold. She has 28, and Republican Anthony Paluk has 25. In Cairo, Jason Watts is beating Ted Banta. Jason Watts is the Republican conservative candidate. He has 89. Ted Banta, the Democrat, is got 52. For town justice in Cairo, Joan Vandenberg, Republican, 44, write-in has 3. For town council in Cairo, right now the leader is Republican conservative Mary Jo Cords with 87. Oh, no, she's in second. Republican conservative Michael C. Flaherty is in first with 90. Then Mary J. Cords with 87. The top two win. Democrat Thomas Vasquez has 54, and Democrat Lewis O'Connor has 50. For tax collector Susan B. Hilgendorf, 58, all the votes in that race. And town of Catskill Council, right now, Leading is Republican conservative Jared Giordano with 78. At 76, in second place, Don F. Scanapicio, Republican conservative line. The top two win. Then, and they were the two candidates. For supervisor in Coxsackie, Richard K. Hance, Republican conservative, has 23 votes. That's all of them. For town council in Coxsackie, top two wins. The top two are Democrat Patrick Kennedy with 17 and Democrat Thomas Burke with 17. For town clerk in Coxsackie, Bambi Hodling, Republican conservative, has 22 votes. That's all of them. For superintendent of highways in Coxsackie, Lawrence E. Ross, a Democrat, has 19, all the votes. Tax collector Valerie C. Murphy, Republican conservative, has 23 votes, all of the votes in Coxsackie. We move now to Durham. For supervisor, Sean D. Marriott, Republican conservative, is unopposed. He has 12 votes. There is one write-in so far. Again, 50% of the votes are in Greene County at this point. Town justice Michelle M. DiCarlo, Republican conservative, has 13 votes, all of them in Durham. For Durham Town Board, right now, Democrat Kylie Thompson is winning with 24 votes, followed by Republican conservative Edward Kerrigan with 10 votes. And this is a top two winners situation. In third is Republican conservative Lisa Sorello with 8 votes, just 2 behind Kerrigan. For town clerk in Durham, Janet L. Partridge, Republican conservative, is the only one on the ballot. 13 votes for her, 1 write-in vote. In Durham, for superintendent of highways, Joseph S. Van Holstein, Republican conservative, has 15 votes. That's all of them. In Greenville, Paul Macko has 10 votes, all of them, for supervisor. He's the incumbent. For town council in Greenville, currently the Republicans, Richard Baer and Travis Richards, both have 8 votes and would be the winners to Michelle Clark, the Democrat, who has 7. Again, 50% of the votes are in. Town clerk in Greenville, Jessica Lewis, Republican, 9 votes. Michelle Clark, Working Families Party, 5 votes. Superintendent of Highways in Greenville, Michael Dudley, Republican, 9 votes. That's all of them. In Hallcott, for supervisor, Yukari B. Day, the Democrat and Republican, has 0 votes. No one cast a vote in the 50% have been counted in Hallcott. No votes counted in Hallcott yet. Says one of two precincts have reported. But in all the races, there are no Hallcott results. So we move to the town of Hunter. Again, 50% of the votes are supposedly in, according to the Greene County website, Board of Elections website. Sean Mahoney, Democrat, Republican, conservative, is got 33 votes. That's all of them for supervisor, except for 1 write-in vote. Hunter Town Justice Kimberly Prince Walsh, Republican conservative, has 24 votes, all of them. Town Council in Hunter, the top two win, and the top two are Democrat Republican conservative Dolph Semenza has 32 votes. In second place is Ernest C. Real, a Democrat, with 24 votes. In third, Andrew F. Polidian has 12. Superintendent of Highways in Hunter, John Farrell, the Democrat, has 25 votes. That's all of them. In Jewett, for supervisor, right now the Democrat, James Quackenbush, is beating Republican conservative Gregory Croyer 17-7. For town board in Jewett, right now Taylor Colleton, the Democrat, has 18 votes. Elide Bell, a Democrat, has 18 votes. They would be the winners over John Giordano, a Republican conservative, with 4, and James B. Pelletieri, Republican conservative, also with 4. For supervisor of Lexington, again, 2 of the 4 precincts are reporting. Joe Ellen Schemmerhorn, Democrat, has 3 votes. That's all of them. Town justice in Lexington, there are 2 candidates. One of them has 3 votes. The other has 0. Democrat Joe Cuesta has 3. Stephen O. Rossignol, the Republican, has 0. for council in Lexington. Democrat Michael Barcone has 3. Republican Bradley Jenkins has 2. They would be the winners. Susan Jo Falk, a Republican, has 0 so far. For town clerk in Lexington, Charlotte Jaeger, the Democrat and Republican, has 3 votes. No one else has any. Superintendent of Highways in Lexington, Kevin P. Simmons, running on the Democrat and Republican lines, has 3 votes. No one else has any. In New Baltimore, for supervisor, Jeffrey Russo, running on the Republican and conservative lines, has 5 votes. That's all of them so far. For town council in New Baltimore, again, half the precincts are in. Tomasino Winslow, Democrat and Working Families Party, is winning right now with 18 votes. In second place, on the Republican and conservative line, Shelley A. Van Etten has 6. And in third, Kelly Downs, Republican conservative, has 5. That's very close with half the votes still in. Town clerk, town of Baltimore, New Baltimore, Barbara Fink, Republican conservative, has 7 votes. That's all of them. In Prattsville, Greg Cross, Republican, has 4 votes for supervisor. That's all of them. Town justice, David Rickard in Prattsville, has 2 votes, but he's losing to Republican Daniel Peckham, who has 3 votes. In Prattsville, for town board, the top 2 win. Right now, Republican Eli Martin has 3 votes, and then tied for with 2 votes each is Mason C. Chase and Andrew Rickard. Kenneth Arigima, Republican, has 0. The 2 in second place were both Democrats, Chase and Rickard. In Prattsville, the town clerk, Kathleen Sherman, Democrat, Republican, has 4 votes. That's all of them. Superintendent of Highways in Prattsville. Right now, William Sutton, the Democrat, has 3 votes. Eric Yeager, the Republican, has 1. For tax collector, Carol Cangliosi, Republican, has 2 votes. That's all of them. In Windham, for supervisor, Thomas Hoyt, Republican conservative, has 17 votes. There are also 2 write-in votes so far. Town justice, town of Windham, Carol Donnelly Stevens, Republican conservative, has 17 votes. That's all of them so far. Town of Windham council, the board, 2 winners, and they are both on the ballot. Republican conservative Wayne E. Van Valen has 18 votes. Ian T. Peters, Republican conservative, has 17. For superintendent of highway in Windham, Gary D. Thorington, Republican conservative, has 17 votes. No one else has any. Tax collector in Windham, Catherine Murray, Republican conservative, has 17 votes. No one else has any. Those are your election results for Greene County. 50% are in so far, and just the Hudson results are in so far in Columbia County. Hear who is back on the radio today at WGXC. It's the Camp Hill Media Group. They have been off the air since the pandemic began, but they are back now, recording every week in the WGXC Hudson studio and producing stories like you'll hear next. This is about their television show they're also doing. It's called Cooking with Friends, and you can see it on Mid-Hudson Cable, as well as YouTube, and you can hear all about it here on WGXC.
Listen to Live by Life, Camp Hill Hudson Media Group. My name is Matthew Whitney Harrington, and my friend Michael Hoy. We both are members at Camp Hill Hudson Media Group. We both are here in WGXC radio station podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. We are back after a long absence. We are an intentional community of all abilities, and COVID has made us have to take a hiatus, but we're back. And now we want to bring our latest venture called Cooking with Friends to WGXC. Matt, if you could say briefly, I guess in a sentence or two, what is Cooking with Friends?
Cooking with Friends is about cooking together in Tanner Bomb Farm Kitchen with our communities. I host each month to bring our community together, and I feel grateful to start a new experience of cooking with friends.
Now, we are fortunate to have a few chefs in our media group.
Oh, this was me.
Yeah, you.
I am.
Yeah, and we're going to introduce you in a second. some of our media group folk appeared in some of the Cooking with Friends video series. But just before we introduce them, we want to have a little chicken soup for the soul.
That's me.
Today our dear friend Chicken Soup, this very ordinary day, boiled up a pot of chicken soup and swallowed it away.
Okay.
That's okay. We're back.
Hope you all enjoyed that.
Yeah, I did.
So we have some of the guest chefs from Cooking with Friends here. Let's introduce yourselves.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Oh, boy. Go ahead.
I can do it first.
What's your name?
Lori.
Woo! And who else do we have?
Melissa.
Ah.
Yes, tell us who you are, sir, kind sir.
Oh, that's right. I am Gio.
Yes, Gentleman Gio.
Gentleman Gio, and you are again?
Yes, Michael Hoy, in case you want to know. Yeah.
And we're here with the amazing Tom of WGXC, 90.7 FM.
Tom Rowe is great.
So my question for you two is, Melissa and Lori.
What?
You filmed your episode in July. And it'll be released this month because the dish is a fall seasonable recipe. Fall seasonal recipe.
What is the dish?
Yeah. Tell us the dish. What's in
what
it?
What are you making?
Soup.
What kind of soup?
With sunflower seeds, kale.
Sour cream.
Sour cream.
I said it.
Yeah.
Sour cream.
And one other ingredient. Yeah.
What's on top of the soup? Yeah. What was that delicious little crunchy thing we put on top?
Oh, you just said it, Lori. Yeah.
You baked them.
No, cook it.
I said cook it. Squash.
Yeah, squash. Yeah, so it's
kale.
There we go. Right. We turned the kale into what?
Chips.
There we go.
Kale chips.
Yeah, that was our garnish.
So it sounds tasty, yeah. Were there other...
You don't put the sour cream on top, or is it mixed into the soup?
No, it's...
That's so good.
Squash.
Squash, yeah.
Squash. No, squash.
You got it all. You got it perfect.
Sunflower.
Yeah.
Kale and sour cream.
So it's an autumn, soup dish.
It's spicy for me.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's too spicy?
It was spicy for both of them. They both turned around to me and were like, I love it, but too spicy. Well, besides these ingredients, we did add some other things.
What's her name? Ellen.
Ellen
was there.
Yeah, tell us about Ellen. Did she help you, right?
Right.
Or you helped her too, though, actually.
I had a baker's hat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And did you like wearing your chef hats?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Does it help you cook?
Yes, it does.
So it's a trio. This episode is a trio.
It was in the barn. Mm. It was in the barn.
Yeah.
Can't jump.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Keeps falling off.
We'll help you. Tom will help adjust those headphones. But Melissa, yeah, where's the farm? What's it called again?
Where you Ten Barn Farm.
Ten Barn
there
Farm
we go.
In Ghent.
Oh,
yeah. Ten Barn Farm in Ghent.
That's inside the barn when you go in.
Yeah, not too far from our OMI. So.
OMI Road.
Yeah, so they have a commercial kitchen in there.
Yeah, the people were dancing.
People were dancing on that episode?
Yeah, inside the barn, I think.
Oh, dancing about cooking?
Yeah.
Wow. That might have been a different episode, but
no,
yeah.
No, that was people dancing inside the...
Well, anyway, did you enjoy the whole experience, ladies?
Yeah.
And did...
Jody was there.
Who? Yeah.
Jody.
Yes.
Jody, by the way, Jody Brooks. Jody Brooks is the writer-director of the Cooking with Friends series.
Mm-hmm.
And Gio was behind the scenes, too, that day with Lori and Melissa. Yeah.
It was pretty exciting to be there, I have to say, and watching the process.
Yeah.
And I got to help with prop styling. Yay.
Prop styling.
Cool. But can I ask you guys, when you were working with Ellen, what did she show you about properly cutting? What was it that you guys were cutting?
That squash.
That's right.
I cut myself with the squash. I did.
I know. She was showing you properly, and then for 1 second, but at least you didn't get too hurt, right?
No, that was the knife was
that's
too heavy. It was cut my finger almost.
But almost, yeah. You still have all your fingers,
myself.
Just so people know.
Wave your hands.
See all the fingers.
Tom asked Lori to raise her fingers.
I think Tom counted 10.
No stitches.
Oh, wait, there's 12? How'd you get 12 fingers?
We need to get her to play guitar. We need to get her to play guitar. It was a worthy sacrifice, yes. So anyway,
hold on, what is it?
Oh, yeah.
It keeps falling off.
So while we have Lori holding up her headphones, Melissa, you wanted to ask Gio something, right? Do you remember?
Okay. How's how you
could say it?
It starts with an M, yeah.
M.
Media group.
Yes.
Yeah, the media group covers. We're starting to cover a lot more ground, not just audio, but social media. So
yeah. How are you?
Well, I guess I kind of been helping out with that, but I just have to say that it's been so exciting to see the work that you guys have all done.
Yeah,
everyone in the different Cooking with Friends episodes, and with the social media and all this Instagram, Facebook stuff, we're getting to have everyone.
That's right.
Get to see what you guys are doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're cooking. Some are performing on it. So it's pretty exciting. So I'm enjoying that. And I just wanted to mention for anyone that hadn't seen any of the episodes, they can go to YouTube and look up Cooking with Friends and Camp Hill Hudson. The episodes will be there. And then, of course, I'm going to just say this last part, which is, if you go to Instagram, you go to Camp Hill_Hudson, and under our IGTV videos is all the Cooking with Friends videos, too. Michael?
Yes, that secret account, Instagram IGTV. thanks for making a plug for IGTV. You know, actually, speaking of TV, it is being featured on... which cable network again?
PBS.
CBS.
Is it on PBS?
It's on some of the PBS right now. It's on Mid-Hudson Cable, but it's on some PBS affiliates.
Is it?
Yes.
I didn't know that part. I knew it was on Mid-Hudson Cable.
I was excited.
Yeah, I don't think we know the times off the top of our head when it's on Mid-Hudson Cable.
We don't, as of now. Yeah. But we've done, 7 episodes out of the 12? We're going to do 12 for the year.
Yeah. But the PBS affiliate, I knew we were trying to get the word out, but that's wonderful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. But it's primarily YouTube, yeah.
So Camp Hill Media Group is now your TV stars on Mid-Hudson Cable, your radio stars on WGXC, and your internet stars on social media.
Yeah, have you had butternut squash soup before, Matt?
Butternut squash soup is delicious. Reminds me of my older brother, Peter. grows grass in the garden. When I eat soup, it's tasty, warm for winter season. I love soup.
It's the perfect time of year to have butternut squash soup. We should thank the Harrington family and Ten Barn Farm in Ghent for allowing us to film the cooking show on their property at the commercial kitchen there. So thanks to the Harrington family and Ten Barn Farm. Speaking of thanks, and well, Thanksgiving will be coming. You have a special song in your heart, Matthew, that is near and dear to you, yeah? How about you share it with us?
My all-time favorite TV show called Golden Girls theme song is called Thank You Being a Friend. I'd love to thank all Kimber Hudson community friends. Before you're cooking in the Harrington kitchen, let's listen to Golden Girls, Thank You Be a Friend, and thank you to be my friend in Kimber Hudson community.
Yes, thank you for listening to WGXC, and thank you, Tom Rowe, and everyone else that helps make this station put out local radio.
And you are listening. You're listening to 90.7 WGXC Acre. Catskills. Today, Eastern.
Thelonious Monk and Sonny Rollins there with The Way You Look Tonight. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
At the top of the episode, we spoke with Mark Dunley about COP26, the summit that began with a report by the World Meteorological Organization named State of Climate in 2021, Extreme Events and Major Impacts. To help us understand this report, we are now joined by retired meteorologist Hugh Johnson. Hugh Johnson, you there?
I am here. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Ready for some good questions here.
Yes. Great to have you back. Can you tell us about this major report? What can you tell us about this major report?
You mean about the COP26?
The State of Climate in 2021, Extreme Events and Major Impacts, the report by the World Meteorological Organization.
Okay, well, here it is. It's not pretty. Basically, the bottom line is if we don't get our temperature down, right now our temperature is about 1.5 degrees Celsius warmer than it was during the pre-industrial time. And if we don't get that temperature down soon, we're going to be in big trouble. We're going to see inundation of coastal flooding. We're going to see farming fail. And we're going to see the ice caps melt and all kinds of other not good things. So the idea is that hopefully in the next 10 years, less than 10 years, we can go to near CO2 emissions of near zero. And that is a huge, huge thing to fill. Great Britain has already said they're not going to have any more petrol cars or oil-burning cars or by the year 2030. That's huge. We're not there yet in the United States. We're not there at all. But basically, if we don't curb the rate of warming in the next 7 years, we could be we'll be in real big trouble.
All right. Is there something specific in that report that you can point out?